Blog Talk Radio.
Of the love journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. You tuned in and tuned in to love this morning. Welcome to Love's Playground. We're going to get started with Best Yet to Come.
Thank you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine Ann Ingram. Wow, that was Patti LaBelle. The best is yet to come. She said, I'll give you moonlight. All right, we're going to move right in to the present, inviting ourselves into the stillness, moving into the present, recognizing that there is only one presence, one power, and on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many, 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 many names. God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there's not a spot that our God is not. Come on, Holy Spirit. And so as we come into this space, recognizing the oneness, I want us to become very intentional about the breath. There is power in the breath, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Sometimes we forget to breathe. I want you to take in that deep breath, and I just want you to And so right now, I want you to breathe in through your nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. And then release the breath. Because sometimes we forget to breathe. And so right now, I want you to move from your head right into your heart. Breathe in deep into the diaphragm. Deep into the heart, remembering to breathe and hold it to the count of eight. Hold it until the point of vibration, and then release the breath. So together, be still. Know that I am God. Let's breathe, family. And then release. Breathe again. Be still. And know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And last time, be still. Know that I am, God. Breathe. And release. And as we invite the energy of forgiveness, we cannot forgive too much. I tell you, forgiveness is one of the most powerful releasing tools on the planet. Let's release, let's let go, let's forgive. Let's forgive.
Day one, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive myself. Precious and beloved God, my source and my creator, Today I ask for and open myself to receive the strength, courage, and compassion required to forgive myself. I forgive myself for all perceived sins, faults, mistakes, and failings. I forgive myself for every thought, belief, behavior, perception, and emotion that I have told myself is bad, wrong, unjust, unloving, and displeasing to you, God. I forgive myself for every hurt, judgment, condemnation, unkind or unloving thought, belief, and perception I have held about myself or against myself. I forgive myself for any behaviors, habits, or actions motivated by unforgiveness or the unwillingness to forgive myself. I forgive myself with compassion and love. I ask for, accept, and claim God's forgiveness today, believing and knowing that because I have asked, I have received. I am so grateful. I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself.
Come, Holy Spirit, Divine Mother, Father, God, come, come, Holy Spirit, just come, precious and Holy Spirit, come. Divine presence, infinite wisdom, as I come before you today, asking that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart will be so acceptable thy sight, as I come from my higher mind self, beloved I am, as I invoke the unseen forces into this right now conversation, God, I ask you to come. I ask you to come today, God. Come through the presence right now, God. I ask you to remove all of me, Holy Spirit, and let your presence make manifest the glory. Let the light of you shine through me, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to come right now, God. Right now, God, give you for a fresh anointing upon this call, that you may speak to somebody's mind today, God, that you may speak to somebody's heart today, God, that you may bless and increase our territory today, God. Take our hands today, God. Lead us and guide us. Come, Holy Spirit, as we come and make manifest the glory of your presence in each and every one of us on this day, God. Go before us and create an ease, elegance, and grace, God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to come together in one mind, one power, and one love. I just thank you, God, for new witty inventions and witty ideas, God. I thank you right now, God, for new cars and new homes. I thank you right now for spiritual growth and increased territories, God. Oh, I thank you right now, God, that you lead us and guide us right now, God. I thank you, God, for the heavens and the earth, God. I thank you right now for the trees and the bees and the flowers, God. I thank you as we embark upon fall, God. I thank you right now, God. As we move into the winter and the fall of the season and move into the new year, I just thank you, God, for this new day that you have made for us to enjoy. I thank you right now, God, for this is the day that we shall have all that you have given us. Oh, God, today is the $1 billion lottery. And so, Holy Spirit, I know you don't need a lottery to bless your people. But if you see fit today, God, come, Holy Spirit, bless somebody in our circle. Bless somebody, God, that we may come together, God, and make a big financial significance in our communities, God, to help bring forth the dream and visions that you so eloquently placed in all of our lives, God. I just give thanks in the master's name of all that is God. Thank you, God. As we move into perfect peace, our financial substance will be increased and blessed in a mighty way today, God. Come in the consciousness of all that is love.
I will keep you in
perfect peace.
All of my
welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, a love experience with Janine and Ingram. And this is The Love Journey Family. I don't know, sometimes, you know, I think about my childhood in terms of churches, you know, growing up in a sanctified church, the music. So Sunday I was a keynote speaker at a lady's 30th anniversary of her ministry, Universal Truth and Healing. Oh, they had the place all decorated beautiful, and I was received so well, you know. I talked about purpose, and I used her name to take the symbols of the words to get into purpose. Like, her name is started with an S, so the first S, she has two S's in her name, but the first S was surrender, you know, surrendering to the presence, surrendering to the will that created you, the purpose, because I talked about purpose. So using her name and giving characteristics to get us to our purpose, it was such a good talk, right? But my point was that it took me back to my childhood, because some of the music, oh my God, the music, the people, just took me back. And I just want to say, sometimes I just had to go back to the old sanctified church music. I tell you, well, nothing like the musicals. When I was growing up, and people would get the Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost and just moving through. I tell you, the music today is still good, but it ain't like it was when we was coming up in the old sanctified church. Good morning, family, I tell you. You know, Pastor Joel Osteen was here last night at Family Christian Center. It was really interesting because, you know, that was my godmother's church, and I thought about the last time I saw Joel Osteen there. I was sitting right next to her. I'm sending Rochelle Knox love this morning. All right, family, you know, I don't know if I'm low. I don't want to wake everybody up in the house. The baby here, my daughter's here. So, but I wanted you to hear this. You know, sometimes I hear things. Now, there's some things that's in here that we heard, but there's some extra stuff that I want you to hear. And there's some things that I want you to rehear if you heard it before. So it's more to it, because I really want us to get the presence that lives inside of us. I really want us to really understand the presence that is us, that as us, that walks all around us. And it's the silent thoughts that we keep in our mind. It's what we're saying when we're not moving our mouth. It's that inner presence. And KRS bring that up a lot. And so you hear a few things that he already said, but there's some things I really want you to hone in on this morning. Because when you really understand how to magnify the presence and the power that is you, you truly will be the walking embodiment of all that God is. Somebody came up to me the other day and said, "Hey, Janine, how did you get on 95.1? I said, "My phone rang and somebody called. I didn't lift a finger. I didn't even think about what I wanted to do. I didn't send nothing. People called me. I just got a call this weekend to send my audition tape to V103 because they have an opening for Sunday where her Kent was. So what am I point is here is when we're in the flow, come on, Holy Spirit. You see, when you're in the flow, your room, your gifts, your talents will make room for you. And you don't have to effort. Let me say that again. Your gifts and your talents will make room for you and take you before great people. Not just some of us, all of us. And it's so important that we understand how to move and have our being. It's so important to understand how to allow the presence to have its way. You see, when you cultivate your gifts, Jim Rohn once said, if we worked on ourselves like we worked a job, he guaranteed in 5 years we'll be a millionaire. If we worked on ourselves like we worked a job, the average job is 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. If we worked 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, working on ourselves, I can only imagine what we could create. So I want you to hear this. There's some powerful stuff to think about. So I'm going to put my phone on mute. I'm going to sit back on my couch in my beautiful living room, and I'm going to listen to it. And then I hope we can have a conversation. If not, I hope you could take something from it to add to your development of your God, Goddess presence on this planet. Let's shine. Because our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It's not our light. It's not our darkness we're afraid of. It's our light. It's our light, family. Who are you to be talented, beautiful, amazing, a multi-millionaire, a multi-billionaire? Who are you to be a talented New York Times writer, movie star, script writer, filmmaker? Who are you not to be? Your playing small does not serve the world. And so I want you to really think about that. Because when you stand in your light, you liberate others and you give others permissions to do the same. Today, I want us to think about that. This is KR.
Listen to what I'm saying here. Value is not based on what you own or what you have. In fact, I'll drop this jewel on you real quick. Real value is based on what you can do without. It's not about what you can accumulate. It's how functionable are you with nothing. And we can't function on nothing, so that becomes the scale. How low can you go? How deep can you go? Because after a while, if you really become a spiritual being, you don't rely on the world for nothing. Nothing. You enter the world, but you are not dependent upon the world. You're dependent upon invisible forces. What are the invisible forces? Love. People can't see love. They're too busy watching hate. It's all about your perception. If you see love, you see love. I'll say it again. If you see love, if you can see it, this is love right here. I'm seeing love. She, in her own mind, may believe I'm not love. Love is bigger than me. I'm just whoever I am. No, that's in her head. She's only a dream character in my perception. She could be God for all I know. We don't know who anybody is, so why can't she be God? We don't know where God is, when God is, how God is, or why she can't be God. This woman right here, I choose with my perception to see her as God. This is an ancient African technique. God was never outside of your perception. God was never outside of what you thought. That's why Western man came and said, there is no God, they're just making it up. Right! But God is the greatest human invention in human history. And the reason being, the reason Africans created God is so that humanity in its infinity would never run out of something to rise to. This is why God exists. If you don't have God, you don't rise. There is nothing human about technology. Sorry. Nothing human about it. And this is what I want to say in terms of your spirit. What can you see? This is God to me. and I respect her and will treat her just like that. That's my perception of her. Now, she can do something to break that perception. She could do something to enhance it. What if she knew that I thought she was God? There'd be something in her that would try to live up to the image that I see of her. There'd be something in her that when she approached me, she would at least have to either deny God or become. This is how, as a community, we treated each other. If there is no God, then we are not family. The only way we can be brothers or sisters is if we have the same parent. Think. We cannot call ourselves brothers or sisters if we don't have the same mother or father. When God is the eternal mother, we become all brothers and sisters. When we all say, yes, I am part of this idea called God, not a man in the sky, not even a metaphor, not even a spirit in a separate consciousness. No, we don't have to get there yet. Let's just make God up right now, like our ancestors did. Nobody told them what God was. What God was your dead father. What God was your deceased mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, ancestor, builder of the tribe. This was the God. And when we got rid of the God, we stopped worshiping that God and started worshiping their God, we lost our spiritual power. If you have order, you don't break laws. Gravity is an order. You don't break that law. Breathing is an order. There's an exercise where, we could say this, rock star energy drink. Why? I just put that in history. See how quick history come up right there. Rock star energy drink. Those who want to do the exercise, we're going to say rock star to ourselves without opening our mouths, without saying anything outside. We're going to say this to ourselves. We're going to say rock star to ourselves. Don't say it out loud at the count of three. One, two, three. Okay. Now, the question to ask, if you've said rock star in your mind, the question to ask is, what voice is that? What voice is that? What voice just spoke? You just said rock star without moving your mouth at all. On top of that, you on top of saying rock star, you heard yourself say rock star. How can you hear yourself say rock star and no vibration of sound has happened? See, this puts a different perspective on what sound actually is and what memory is. Memory's not in the brain. Memory's in the soul. The only thing you take with you after this life is your memories or your knowledge, your experiences. That's the only thing you take. Unless you study Egypt culture, they believe you can take all their stuff with you on the other side. Just as a side note. But if you said rock star in your mind or in your being is the true statement. In your being, what was that voice? What was the voice that spoke and then you heard yourself speaking? But these ears did not hear you say anything because your mouth didn't move. So the ears didn't hear it, the mouth did not move, but you spoke and you heard yourself speaking. If you close your eyes, you can see this better. If you close your eyes and put this image in another sight, if you close your eyes, you can still see this. What is the sight that can see your future? These two eyes don't see the future. These two eyes don't see the past. Yet, you can see your past and you can see your future. You can actually see your past. What is the sight that can see beyond time?
God.
Don't give it away. This is an ancient meditation. This is an ancient meditation that I am not the flesh. I am the energy, the consciousness, the being in the flesh. And this is proof. This is no phase. This is not religion. This is actual fact. You can speak without moving your mouth. You can hear without ears. You can see without eyes. So what happens when these eyes, this mouth, and this ear drops off into the grave? These other senses are all you're left with. Death is an illusion. Once you realize this, you live your life more courageously. Now, no one wants to die before their time, so you try to protect yourself. But know that this body is the limitation of you. It is not your zenith. It is not your ultimate. Your ultimate is that voice that just said rock star. That voice that just said rock star without nothing physical moving, that person is immortal. That person is not here with you. Let's go deeper. The body is in, what is it, three dimensions, right? Forward, back, right, left, up, down, and time. Fourth dimension. Three dimensions plus time. That's our physical reality. Front, back, right, left, up, down, that's 3D plus time. What happened to in and out? Look at the East, look at the English thought. Back, forth, right, left, up, down, no in and out. No in and out. What is in and out? Rockstar. Rockstar says, I exist without the body. So where is this other existence? Where is it? It's not here. It's not in three-dimensional space where you really are. The person that said this is in a whole different dimension. Just switch a little bit. Talk to yourself more. Affirm to yourself more. Don't move none of this. No, close this down and go within and say, I am the greatest dot, dot, dot ever. I have all my needs coming with speed. I am a being of love and light and knowledge. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Whatever it is, have your affirmation on your tongue. Or, sorry, in your being. This is how the gods created this whole reality. The first humans, imagine. The first humans, they came from inner space. They came out. Study the Anunnakis. They came out of inner space. Not from up, outer space. Inner space. Rockstar. Before there was a body, there was this voice. Traveling in this voice's dimension. To get here to the earth, the inner voice created this outer extension of itself to be in this dimension. Once you realize that you are not just in this dimension, but you're also in another dimension, you now are free. Because whatever happens to you here in this dimension is not your only reality. See, this is how Jesus was able to get beaten and brutalized and hang on the cross. He wasn't here. He was the rock star. Inside, he went to the inner man. Do what you want with the body. I'm not here. Now, once you realize that level of consciousness, where you are officially, you identify yourself as the spirit, not the flesh. You are the inner voice, not the outer voice. Once you become the inner voice, now your outer voice has power. Now when you speak, it's not just a shell speaking. There's a being speaking through the shell. And this is where you heal all sickness in your body. This is where you command reality to work with you, and it works according to your consciousness. Why? Because it's not a shell that's speaking. There's a real being in the shell that is speaking. And when the real being speaks, all nature and the universe responds. People are realizing now that your environment is way more important than even your culture. That the environment you're in, your genes are responding to the environments that you're in. Imagine that. That everything you do as a human, there's a tiny, 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 tiny little organism running around that does the exact same thing. Let me put it to you this way so you can really see it. You are only a collection of cells. You should really spell it as C-E-L-F. Cell. Because what the self is the consciousness of cells. Cells reproduce. They talk. They have waste. They have a job and a function. Every cell knows what it's supposed to do. These are little thinking beings. And when they unite, they make you. The way you think is what they are thinking. When you say, I'm hungry, it's not you that's hungry. It's your cells that are hungry. You are the slave of your higher self. C-E-L-F, you are the servant of your higher self until you become your higher self, then you're free. This is why they say you are born a slave. You are. You're a slave to yourself. You're a slave to the addictions that your cells want. You're a slave to the made-up realities of your language. You're a slave to your fears and this kind of thing. Once you realize that I am the eternal, immortal being that speaks without this body, has existence without time and space. Once you really know that, you start moving like that, and then reality starts playing with you. You start reading things right in the nick of time. Some message comes to you right off the wall. Nobody else see it. You're the only one to see it. Why? Because your perception is such. This is how you get over. This is how you get past. This is how you compete. Never compete. Is how you compete. The ancient way. This is the ancient, ancient way. You don't compete. That's the English way. The way of nature is cooperation. Everything works in cooperation. That's why we African Americans are here in the United States today. I didn't talk much on Black history, but here's a little piece. That's why we're here. I'll drop this little piece on you. There's a book called Slave Religion by Robotau. It's called Slave Religion. In this book, this guy talks about how we got to the United States, which was over about four or five different migrations. First of all, Africans were already here in the United States. We were already here from like 50,000 years ago. We were first called Native Americans. We were called Indigo. This is where you get the word Indian from. It's not from the word indigenous. It's from the word Indigo. That was the color of the people that they first saw. The original human beings were blue-black. It's preserved in Hindu art. They have like Krishna in blue and all that. But now it's now more glamorized. But back in the days, humans were blue-black. They were called indigo. And when these Western explorers came to some of these islands, what they saw was dark, dark, really dark dark-skinned people, and they called them indigos, that became Indians or Indo. You said Indo-European, Indonesian, Indo. That's all dealing with the color indigo, because that's what the original black, so-called black man or woman, I have to say woman, what the original black woman was, because geneticists now have realized that the entire history of humanity is in women, meaning that from the first, what they call African Eve, a genetic Eve, the first black woman to leave Africa and venture into Europe and other parts of Asia and other parts of Africa, this one woman, they say we have all of her genes. We have, like, most of humanity has all of her genes, and it's women that have passed these genes on through human history. Forget somebody writing history. Your history is already imprinted on your genetic structure, and it's passed in humanity by women. So to disrespect a woman is literally to disrespect the whole history of humanity. Literally. To harm a woman to actually harm the whole history of humanity, at least genetically. So I bring this little piece up because, come back to the indigo, come back to the Indian, come back to the fact that you were already here. The point I'm bringing up is this. You can escape white racism, white people included. Nobody wants racism. Nobody. No rational human being is into that. That's why white folk fought for black independence. That's why there's an abolitionist movement. I talked about that earlier. That's why. If we appeal to the humanity in each other, then all these racial divisions, of course, will disappear. But we also have to become brothers and sisters, which means we need a God. A God. Something that we agree is above us all. Some people make law their God. Some people make love their God. All of these are good, but a godless person is a slave. This is what a slave was. It was first Islam in Africa, Arabs, Arab Moors, they call them. Those tribes, they're the ones that are you today. Because what made you eligible for slavery was that you wasn't Muslim or Christian. First it was Islam that enslaved Africans. Then it was the Christians. Islam sold Africans to the Christians. Then the Christians took over with the Crusades. God wills it, and the Crusades started. And they defeated the Muslims and took the whole slave trade. But the ones they were enslaving was ones that were not Christian. At this point, if you were Muslim, you were getting enslaved now. But in the beginning, if you said Muslim, you said Christian, you were good. Those who were slaves would say, I'm not down with either one. I'm doing nature. I'm doing astronomy. I don't need to read. I don't need to write. I'm reading nature. These are the ones that were enslaved. These are the ones that made it to the United States. They talk all the time about Africans arriving in chains. That's a lie. Well, it's not a lie. Some did. Many did arrive in chains. But the history of Africans in this country is like, the way they tell it, is like telling, it's like saying 200 years from now, you're telling the history of African Americans today. And you say, look at Rodney King. Take a look at the prison system. Now, these people were enslaved, weren't they? Yeah, were. Take a look at the poverty rate. Take a look at the health rate. Take a look at the lack of education. You would say 200 years from now, those people were enslaved, weren't they? Yeah. This is how slavery was 300 years ago. How can slavery exist for 300 years if you don't believe it in yourself? I don't believe I'm saying that. How can slavery exist for 300 years if you don't believe in it? I could see it lasting for a week. Okay, a month. A year, then we revolted and got free. Okay, 2 years, it was like 300 years. 100 million Africans off the west coast of Africa. We weren't part of that? Nah, you got to look at it today, too. We still slaves today. It's just the slave population got bigger. It's now Asian and Europeans part of it too now. Now it's Latinos as well. And now it's Arabs and Hindus. And yeah, it's just the slave population got bigger. It didn't go nowhere because it was always a mental issue to begin with. Why are you slave? Because I believe that my father and my mother are my God. I believe in my culture, and I don't need to believe in yours. Okay, put these chains on. Let's go. I get here to America. I'm still looking for my ancestors. I'm still praising the ancestors. The white man is calling it voodoo. They call it Yoruba and all kind of other things, but this is just my ancestry. But here in this system, I can't be myself. There goes spirituality. You are a God in your environment. You are the God of your environment. You're not the God of the universe. But you are the God, the creator of your environment. And your environment is as large as your perception is. When I was in the Bronx, my environment was global. I was homeless with two nothings in my pocket. But I knew this science. I was raised by a strong woman. That's all I got to say. Strong woman. Her name is Jacqueline Parker. If you ever meet her, give her a dollar. She's a strong woman, my mother. And she raised me. I was 8 years old. She never told me to turn the music off. In fact, when we was rapping and beating on the walls, and the neighbors was complaining, she bought us Rapper's Delight. She bought us Funky 4 Plus 1 More. Encouraged the hip-hop in us. We didn't even know what it was, but mom's was just unconditional love. And we was crazy. Me and my brother Kenny, crazy in Brooklyn. Crazy. But my mom's loved us anyway. And this is what I'm saying to all mothers in this room right now. Your daughters, your sons, if you keep that love on them, they're going to be greater than anything you could possibly imagine. And this is the point, greater than you can imagine. This is the scary part, Mom. This is it. Your kids are greater than you can imagine. When you give them love, you make them greater than you can imagine. My mother could not imagine KRS-One. I was 12 when I told her I was going to be a rapper. I was 12. I said, Mom, I'm going to rap. She said, okay, yeah, let's get to the dishes. That's how she just went, just like that. I said, Mom, I'm going to be a rapper. Okay, yeah, we'll take out the garbage. Years later, here I am. We laugh about it now. I used to tell my brother all the time, yo, you're not playing your part in the movie. You're not even going to do a movie about us. This is way back in the day. We like nobodies. But I had this knowledge. My mother used to turn me on to Ernest Holmes, Science of Mind. James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. She used to crack the Bible open on us. Not every day, on Christmas and Easter. She used to open the Bible and talk about the birth of Christ. Not Jesus. Christ. What Jesus was called. That thing goes way back into history. She used to teach us about that. So, Mom, you are the center of not only this universe genetically, spiritually, but also culturally. Hip-hop is the way it is today, being portrayed in media because of women. Mom's taught us that word, bitch. We was in the other room when Moms was talking to her girlfriend. This bitch thinks she crazy. We was in the room listening to Moms. Where else did we get our language from? You could say the streets, but that's only other kids listening to their moms. Mom, you are the first teacher. If there's any activism to be done in this country, it is a return to motherhood on all levels. On all levels, from God to the parent. Mothers, at the least, America could boast that it's getting rid of sexism once and for all. It could boast that it's getting rid of racism because of Barack Obama's presidency. It hasn't, but it can boast. It can say, we're on our way. We got more work to do. You could at least boast it with Barack Obama, President Barack Obama's presidency. You could boast that. With Hillary Clinton, you could also boast the power of women. For 4 more years with her, that first 4 years, more than the men in this audience, because society caters to men. Let me keep that. Men in this audience, the American society caters to you. The American society does not cater to women. It holds women back, holds women down, and makes women believe they're supposed to be held down. Women are guilty. Women are afraid, insecure, depressed. This is why our communities can't rise. It's because our mothers are sick. Even if the father rose up, it's useless without the mother. Useless. And I'm a father. I have all respect for fatherhood, manhood, no doubt. But manhood is nothing without womanhood. Nothing. Nothing. Men don't make women. Women make men and women. So when we can realize, change the paradigm, and then you'll see your reality change. There's no revolution for everybody. I'm going to fight the revolution and we're all going to get justice. That's a myth. Here's the truth. Revolution only works for those that participate in it. That's it. This is why you have some people who make it because they participate in their own revolution. Other people are waiting for someone to tell them who they are, why they are, and where they should go.
Wow. I'm just talking and it was on mute. Oh, my God. It was some deep nuggets in there to me, and I wanted to share that with you this morning. I wanted to share that with you. I want you to understand who you are. We're so much more than this physical presence. I love this, what he said, and I know it may have went over some people here. He said we are slave to self, the cells of self, until we become our higher self. Then we are free. We are a slave to self, the cells of self, until we become our higher self. And I told you, my grandmother always said it's not in the fruit, it's in the root. And if the woman is the first teacher, and what are we reflecting in our communities? If the woman is ill, if the woman is the first teacher that creates all things in the universe in terms of humans, if humans come through every woman on the planet, then where are we mentally? We got to heal our woman. Because when we heal a woman, we heal a nation. We heal the world. When you heal a woman, you heal a world. It's time for us to do our work. Did anybody feel the way I felt listening to him? Did anybody have any comments, any conversation, any thoughts? Or was this like, oh, this was really above my head? And it's okay. Any nuggets? You could press 1 on Blog Talk, *6 on the teleconference line. Memory is not in the brain, it's in the soul. You know what that means? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Janine. That was a powerful, powerful message. It was beautiful. That was really real and deep.
Yeah, I know it's deep.
Really something. It's really something to think about for real, because, you know, you dude, that's a good question to ask yourself. When you're not talking and hearing yourself talk, you're talking to yourself within, and there is that voice within that you're talking to yourself, and you do visualize what you see. And it is so deep. I mean, wow, if you could just eliminate all the rest of the garbage that's being taught and just function and wake up to that realization to go within. That is that. Thank you, Janine. That was an eye opener, a brain opener, a mind opener. Appreciate it, and I love you, sister. Thank you.
Thank you. What did you think about the fact that he said, I don't know, this was like so mind-blowing for me. We're slaves to the selves of ourself until we become our higher self. I love that.
That's true. That's deep, because it really points to the control that you have. And then when he said not the S-E-L-F, but the C-E-L-F, I was like, whoa, see the cells, you know, to let you know the cells are alive and they're working within you to do certain things for you. Deep, something to meditate on, something to think about all day.
So what about this part? He said the cells already know what they came to the planet to be. The cells already know what you came to the planet to be. Every cell in our body has a brain, and all the cells already know exactly what it came to the planet to be. So you already know what your purpose is. You already mm-hmm. understand the purpose you came to the planet for. It's just that we get in our own way, and then we move out of the oneness of what we came to express on the planet. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And you know that happens because of the confusion. You know that everybody knows what they're supposed to do coming in, but coming into consciousness and being around other people who don't have that consciousness kind of puts, you know, if other people, your parents don't have that knowledge to give you, then you don't know that, and you kind of look on the outside, like the outside controls everything that's going on in your life. But until somebody comes up and tell you that, no, you're doing this all wrong, you got to go within yourself. Everything is within. Your cells are alive. They know what to do. They heal you. When you get a cut, you don't, you know, you hear, it heals from the inside out, from inside
exactly.
to the outside.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Anything that goes on in your body, you don't tell it. The cells already know what to do. They already know to regenerate. They already know to heal. They know what to do.
So
and that
it's
is
interesting.
Deep. That is.
It's so interesting. It's so deep. But the thing about it is, so we were talking about Dr. Sabi. Everybody was sad about what happened to Dr. Sabi, and I'm sad about what happened to Dr. Sabi. But also know that David's like, well, now his we won't know. I said, no, truth will live. You could kill the body, but you can't kill the truth. You can never kill the truth. You can kill the body, but the truth will always exist.
And that is so beautiful, because he said that, you know, that we are so fearful of dying that we don't even know that only thing that dies is the body, but the mind, the thoughts, all of that moves on. And you would have to think that, because look, all the millions of people that have come into the world and done some marvelous things, and all their bodies are no longer here. But for some reason, you can feel the spirit, and you can feel the spirit is still somewhere lingering.
So even in the scriptures,
it tells you don't see the prophets as or the people as being dead, because they're not dead. The physical body is gone, but they're not gone.
No.
So it's
never.
It's deep. It's.
So what it really all comes down to is us managing our spirit, not our physical. Managing how
right.
we see what we see in this universe. Managing how we feel what we feel in this universe. It's about, I love, so how do you get to the point of becoming higher self is the words and things that we say to ourselves. What are we speaking into the cells of our body?
Mm. and visualizing also.
Exactly.
And hearing that inner voice and visualizing that inner vision also is what we're not looking at. We tend to look outside. We keep looking out. Well, I do. I speak for myself. I keep focusing outside in that. And then the spirit says it's not outside. It's not outside. It's within. But then something that happened and it clicked me right back outside myself. And it's not even about what's going on outside yourself. It's about your world within.
Mm-hmm.
And creating a world based on the vision you see within.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, what's interesting about what you're saying is how much we still condition ourselves, and even though we are in awareness that it's within, we still look outside ourselves. We still need that validation outside ourselves. And so the thing that I think is most important to understand is, how do you get to the point where you, in default language of using, of going within? You know, when you feel the presence of something that you no longer want to experience, how do you get into the place where you say, okay, let me be still and go within and become one with myself? Because when I was talking to someone yesterday, they was experiencing a presence of lack of money. And what I share with them is that money comes through us. Money come through you. So you can bring into your experience or magnetize into your experience as much as your right of consciousness believe that you can bring through you. And so lack is a consciousness that we have to release, because we made consciousness our God. We made struggle and lack our God because of what we say to ourselves.
Or what we've been trained or taught to say to ourselves.
Yeah, no matter however it comes, whether we train. And most of us have been trained, because the truth is that when we come to the planet, we already know we're abundant. It's the conditioning, like you said. It's the veil that's been placed above before us because of looking outside ourselves. But the truth about the planet is that our job is to return to self, return to higher self, return to love.
Yes, yes, yes. That is the highest power. That is what we are supposed to aim for. That is the goal.
Wow.
To return. Islam, they say, to the bosom of Allah. Yeah, to return to that power, to that source. And that's magnificent.
To be
at that level. Oh, my gosh.
And he said, when we have order, we break no laws. And the laws he's talking about is those spiritual laws, those laws that keep us from our truth. See, when we believe in a struggle or a strife, or when we believe in poverty, meaning that even though we say, well, I don't believe in that, but our life is a demonstration of what we believe in. If we're experiencing struggle, if we're experiencing lack, it comes from the place within us that has been conditioned or veiled or numbed to ourselves the truth. And I love that we have to get back to that place of understanding inside, the inner space. I love how you reiterated that several times. I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sister. Thank you for that mind opening. And I heard you play this before. And I just, sometimes you can hear something.
I didn't play this whole thing before. I just played
the whole thing. You didn't play the whole thing, but I heard that part about Rockstar before.
Right, I played that clip.
And I'm glad you played the whole thing, because I finally got to hear the whole thing. But I heard that part. I heard him, you had said that Rockstar. And I had put that in my mind before. But today I really, really meditated on listening and paying attention to exactly what he was saying. And he was right on the money, because it is the inner. It is the inner. It's the inner. It's the inner. You know, and I got to tell myself that it's the inner world that makes the difference, not the outer. The outer is just an illusion. It's just a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
To keep you from that truth, to keep you from that truth. But that's why you got to go in. Sometimes you got to get by yourself. You got to go in. You got to figure this thing out. And you'll see that it has nothing to do with the material world outside.
That's true. So what do you think about this? Now, he talked about slavery. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because I don't know who knows about Father Divine. Father Divine was in 1890s up to passed away in 1965. But at one time he was a slave. And one day he looked up and he said, I don't understand God. Why? Because he was picking cotton and it was 100 degrees. And he just said, I don't understand and why I have to be a slave. And he said he heard God say to him, why are you a slave if you're God?
Mm.
And from that day forward, he never picked another cotton and he never was owned by a slave master from that day forward. That's an intriguing story to me, because how did we move into a place where we became slaves? If this man who lived in when slavery was at its height and decided no longer would he be a slave and no longer did he live as a slave, and this man became a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
His story is intriguing. Have you ever heard the story of
I've heard since I was a little girl. I've heard about Father Divine and Daddy Grace and men like that who have come from poverty and just risen up to financial stability. Oh, well, yes, I've heard of him. Please, they talked about him so much in Harlem when I was growing up.
So I've been I know a lot of people say he was a cold or whatever, but they say he didn't take a dime of money from his congregation.
Right. They said the same thing about Reverend Ike, too, bro, as he was doing his thing, that, oh, he's about the money, he's this, that, and the other thing. But a lot of people believed and followed him and did great.
Yeah. But the fact that when, did you hear KRS talking about the slave mentality? So if this man could live during the height of slavery and not be a slave, what are we doing in our minds that's causing us to still be have that slave mentality? That's the thing. That's what my goal of the love journey is, to really get into the essence and the soul of our being, to teach us how to transcend what's happening in the physical world so that we can experience a different physical presence in our world.
I don't know how he did it back in the day. Maybe it was meant for him to be an example to people as a slaves back in the day of what you can do if you learn to change your thinking. But a lot of this stuff we're going through now and trying to come up out of this is just years and years and years of nonsense and conditioning and religion and a whole bunch of other stuff that has bombarded our minds and weighed it down to the point when the truth comes, it's hard to lift all of them bricks and all of that cement up off of you. I mean, you know the truth. You know that this thing makes a lot of sense, but it's hard to move those obstacles, out, all of that crap that you've been taught throughout the years, to finally somebody comes and says, no, you got to go within. It's this way, it's that way. And you say, yeah, it could be, but you bogged down with all of that other stuff. So you, good luck. I'm just tired. Just thinking about it, I got tired myself, but good luck. I mean, it's hard. It's not an easy task. Some people have done it, and I'm sure it wasn't easy to do. And you can do it. It's possible to do it. But it's a lot of garbage you got to get through, man. A lot of unnecessary stuff that we was taught from mothers, grandmothers, great grandmothers who taught us all of that stuff.
Yes. Well, that's our job. Our job is to return to our higher self. And so I believe if we keep speaking to every cell in our body, if we keep reminding every cell in our body who and what it is, and reminded that it came for a purpose and it already knows its purpose, and that it can come and express itself through you by you getting out of your way, I know it can be done. I'm super excited about the journey. I'm super excited of meeting the real self. The self of me,
yes,
that is my higher self. And so I call it a journey and a date with me. So I can't wait to really embody the oneness of my higher self. So that's my journey.
My goodness.
That's my mission. And I tell you, I'll tell you when I arrive.
That's a mission that I wish I would have went on, but instead of going to college and getting, I could have went on that. I mean, just focus on that. Just stay focused on that. But see, like the inner, outer self, all the distractions and what you should be doing, you better be doing, all of that is just keep you away from who you divinely, truly are.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
Who
but
you came to be.
But you know what? The thing of it is that you know today. And so what
yes.
you do today will change the trajectory of your lineage, your family, your fruit, your all the energies and presences that will meet you. You will affect changing them. You will be the Christ energy around them, bringing them to that light. And that's important.
Right. Yes. Yes. It's not easy. You might not get accepted, but you got to forge through. That's like Jesus did. Everybody didn't accept his teachings, especially those people that he came to get. You know, they didn't accept him, but he kept forging, kept going, because somebody's got to get it. Somebody's going to get it, you know. So you got to forge ahead because you never know who's looking at you and who's, you know, you're setting that example for. So, you
but
know.
But I think that's when you have an expectation that you, who you want to get it. When you don't have it, it's like the sun. The sun is not hard for the sun to shine. The sun says, okay, I'm going to come up and I'm going to be the sun, no matter who recognizes it or not. Like the moon. The moon gets up every time it comes in, especially in its fullest expression. It doesn't matter who acknowledges and who don't. It still is going to express
right.
its divine light.
Exactly.
So I want to say to us today, not to concern ourselves with who gets our message and who don't, but to concern ourselves with being the divine messenger. And whoever allows the message to plant seed and take hold, that's who it's supposed to. And then it'll be a ripple effect. And you've done your job. Our job is not to concern ourselves who get it, who don't. It's just to concern ourselves to serve it. And long as you're serving it, and long as you're in your divine flow, I'll tell you, it's not hard at all. Because it comes with ease, elegance, and grace. It's just like the oak tree. The acorn knows exactly what it came to be, an oak tree, right? And it doesn't work hard to become an oak tree. It doesn't care what you think about it. It's going to become an oak tree. And that's the same thing with the cells in our body. Our cells know what we came to the planet to be. And our GPS system is our heart. Because the GPS system, our God protection system, which is our heart, teaches us and lead us and guide us and show us all the time. It gives us messages. It says, I'm not happy. Well, why are you not happy? Because you're not living in your truth. Every time you're sad, every time you're unhappy, those are messages. Every time we're in pain, those are messages to direct us. The pain comes to say, oh, look inside now. Pain, pay attention now, right now. Pay attention to the inside now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm showing you, nudging you in a different direction. And that's
mm-hmm.
that. If we just truly listen and follow the GPS of our heart, not hard. It's not hard at all. But so many times we give our power over to relationships, to people, to jobs, because we're afraid of the process that it takes to get to enlightenment, to die to ourselves, to rebirth ourselves. And I know, because sometime in the rebirthing process, you experience lack. You experience not enough of some things that you think you should have. And you're not understanding. But when you rebirth the greatness of yourself, when you come into that birthing of your goddess energy, your God energy, oh, my God. And I'm just peeking my head out. I haven't even experienced the wholeness of the presence of my whole birth. But I feel myself in labor. And it's a magnificent feeling to be on this side. So what I'm saying to you, Hassanin, it may feel hard right now to birth the goddess that you are. But once you birth and die to the old and become the presence that you came to the planet to be, it's so freeing. It's like the cocoon experience to the butterfly. You're so free. That's what he meant when he said, KRS said, when we become our higher self, we become free. That's the best place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing the work. Absolutely. Keep shining, Hassanin. The world is waiting on your greatness, girl.
Thank you, Janine. I will. I will never give up. It's my life purpose to the death.
It's your life purpose to become the greater version of yourself, to birth the goddess that you are here to be. You could do it. Shine your light on the world, girl. Shine your light. All right. All right, I just want to remind you all to have an amazing day. And remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice, family. And remember, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dream. Birth the most powerful birthing of yourself. Shine your light on the world, family, because the world is waiting on you. All right, you've been tuned in to The Love Journey, another episode of The Love Journey. This is Most Def. Let me say, shine your light on the world, family.
Shine your light on the world. Shine. and my baby, me and my lady. Times don't wanna get in snowball. Times don't wanna be a soldier. Times just wanna be a man. But pull me safe, shine your light on the world. Shine your light for the world to see. My eyes be safe, shine your light on the world. Shine your light.
Come on and get down, cause I have one love, peace, and understanding. One God, one voice, one life.